Benjamin Keach's Catechism. This catechism was originally published to clarify the theology of the Second London Baptist Confession that was written in 1677 and published after the Glorious Revolution in 1689. Question 1. Who is the first and best of beings? Answer. God is the first and best of beings. Question 2. What is the chief end of man? Answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Question 3. How do we know there is a God? Answer. The light of nature in man and the works of God plainly declare that there is a God, but His Word and Spirit only do effectually reveal Him unto us for our salvation. Question 4. What is the Word of God? Answer. The Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, being given by divine inspiration, are the Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice. Question 5. How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Answer. The Bible evidences itself to be God's Word by the heavenliness of its doctrine, the unity of its parts, its power to convert sinners and to edify saints. But the Spirit of God only, bearing witness by and with the Scriptures in our hearts, is able fully to persuade us that the Bible is the Word of God. Question 6. May all men make use of the Scriptures? Answer. All men are not only permitted, but commanded and exhorted to read, hear, and understand the Scriptures. Question 7. What do the Scriptures principally teach? Answer. The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. Question 8. What is God? Answer. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Question 9. Are there more gods than one? Answer. There is but one only, the living and true God. Question 10. How many persons are there in the Godhead? Answer. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one God, the same in essence, equal in power and glory. Question 11. What are the decrees of God? Answer. The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Question 12. How does God execute His decrees? Answer. God executes His decrees in the works of creation and providence. Question 13. What is the work of creation? Answer. The work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of His power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Question 14. How did God create man? Answer. God created man, male and female, after His own image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. Question 15. What are God's works of providence? Answer. God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions. Question 16. What special act of providence did God exercise towards man in the estate wherein he was created? Answer. When God created man, He entered into a covenant of works with him upon condition of perfect obedience, forbidding him to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil upon pain of death. Question 17. Did our first parents continue in the estate wherein they were created? Answer. Our first parents, being left to the freedom of their own will, fell from the estate wherein they were created by sinning against God. Question 18. What is sin? Answer. Sin is any lack of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Question 19. What was the sin whereby our first parents fell from the estate wherein they were created? Answer. The sin whereby our first parents fell from the estate wherein they were created was their eating the forbidden fruit. Question 20. Did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? Answer. The covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. Question 21. Into what estate did the fall bring mankind? Answer. The fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery. Question 22. Wherein consists the sinfulness of that estate whereunto man fell? Answer. The sinfulness of that estate whereunto man fell consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the lack of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature, which is commonly called original sin, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from it. Question 23. What is the misery of that estate whereunto man fell? Answer. All mankind, by their fall, lost communion with God, and are under his wrath and curse, and are made liable to all the miseries of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. Question 24. Did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? Answer. God, out of his mere good pleasure, from all eternity, having chosen a people to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery, and to bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. Question 25. Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? Answer. The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. Question 26. How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Answer. Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and born of her, yet without sin. Question 27. What offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? Answer. Christ, as our Redeemer, executes the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. Question 28. How does Christ execute the office of a prophet? Answer. Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us, by his word and spirit, the will of God for our salvation. Question 29. How does Christ execute the office of a priest? Answer. Christ executes the office of a priest in his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us. Question 30. How does Christ execute the office of a king? Answer. Christ executes the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. Question 31. Wherein did Christ's humiliation consist? Answer. Christ's humiliation consisted in his being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, in being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. Question 32. Wherein consists Christ's exaltation? Answer. Christ's exaltation consists in his rising again from the dead on the third day, in ascending up into heaven, in sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and in coming to judge the world at the last day. Question 33. How are we made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ? Answer. We are made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ by the effectual application of it to us by his Holy Spirit. Question 34. How does the Spirit apply to us the redemption purchased by Christ? Answer. The Spirit applies to us the redemption purchased by Christ by working faith in us and thereby uniting us to Christ in our effectual calling. Question 35. What is effectual calling? Answer. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit whereby, convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he does persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. Question 36. What benefits do they that are effectually called partake of in this life? Answer. They that are effectually called do in this life partake of justification, adoption, sanctification, and the several benefits which in this life do either accompany or flow from them. Question 37. What is justification? Answer. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Question 38. What is adoption? Answer. Adoption is an act of God's free grace whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. Question 39. What is sanctification? Answer. Sanctification is a work of God's free grace whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Question 40. What are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? Answer. The benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. Question 41. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? Answer. The souls of believers are at death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, still being united to Christ, do rest in their graves till the resurrection. Question 42. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? Answer. At the resurrection, believers become raised up in glory, shall openly be acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoyment of God to all eternity. Question 43. What shall be done to the wicked at death? Answer. The souls of the wicked shall at death be cast into the torments of hell, and their bodies lie in their graves till the resurrection and judgment of the great day. Question 44. What shall be done to the wicked at the day of judgment? Answer. At the day of judgment, the bodies of the wicked, being raised out of their graves, shall be sentenced, together with their souls, to unspeakable torments with the devil and his angels forever. Question 45. What is the duty which God requires of man? Answer. The duty which God requires of man is obedience to his revealed will. Question 46. What did God at first reveal to man for the rule of his obedience? Answer. The rule which God at first revealed to man for his obedience was the moral law. Question 47. Where is the moral law summarily comprehended? Answer. The moral law is summarily comprehended in the Ten Commandments. Question 48. What is the sum of the Ten Commandments? Answer. The sum of the Ten Commandments is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. Question 49. What is the preface to the Ten Commandments? Answer. The preface to the Ten Commandments is, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Question 50. What does the preface to the Ten Commandments teach us? Answer. The preface to the Ten Commandments teaches us that because God is the Lord and our God and Redeemer, therefore we are bound to keep all his commandments. Question 51. Which is the first commandment? Answer. The first commandment is, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Question 52. What is required in the first commandment? Answer. The first commandment requires us to know and acknowledge God to be the only true God and our God, and to worship and glorify him accordingly. Question 53. What is forbidden in the first commandment? Answer. The first commandment forbids the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God and our God, and the giving that worship and glory to any other which is due unto him alone. Question 54. What are we especially taught by these words, before me, in the first commandment? Answer. These words, before me, in the first commandment, teach us that God, who sees all things, takes notice of and is much displeased with the sin of having any other God. Question 55. Which is the second commandment? Answer. The second commandment is, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Question 56. What is required in the second commandment? Answer. The second commandment requires the receiving, observing, and keeping pure and entire all such religious worship and ordinances as God has appointed in His Word. Question 57. What is forbidden in the Second Commandment? Answer. The Second Commandment forbids the worshiping of God by images or any other way not appointed in His Word. Question 58. What are the reasons annexed to the Second Commandment? Answer. The reasons annexed to the Second Commandment are God's sovereignty over us, His propriety in us, and the zeal He has for His own worship. Question 59. Which is the Third Commandment? Answer. The Third Commandment is, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Question 60. What is required in the Third Commandment? Answer. The Third Commandment requires the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, words, and works. For more information, or to print out a PDF of Keach's Catechism and the 1689 Second London Confession of Faith, please visit truthforhomer.blogspot.com. Thank you.